get in trouble with Marine if I don't do this here. We want your books. We want books, CDs, DVDs. There's a little thing back there on the back. We're starting our church library, all right? But we only want the good stuff. Amen. You can keep all your own John MacArthur material and all that. We don't want any of that. Keep your NIV and your Quran to yourself. But, you know, if you do have some, what you think would be some edifying and helpful books for your brothers and sisters, bring them in. I have to approve it, all right? So if it doesn't get approved, I'll just give it back to you. Now, if you can't do that without getting offended, just don't bring the book. Okay? I'm just telling you. I'm not trying to offend you, but as the pastor, I got to make sure that the materials that we have in that library are wholesome, that they're good, all right, that they're going to be helpful and edifying to God's people. So, and just be praying about that. We want to get a good library put together. And you get new Christians coming in here, you ought to be able to just turn them loose over there and just let them go at it and get fed all they want. Amen? And get anything they want, any certain issues, questions, whatever, be able to send them to that library and get the information they need. We'll also have all the CDs from all the different series and those things that we've done in the different books of the Bible and on different topics. They'll all be available over there as well, both in CD and MP3 format. So you can help somebody out and give them some of that stuff. We'll have music CDs available, all those kind of things that you can borrow and use. So whatever we can get a hold of to help you, we want to do it. So just be praying about that library, if you would. All right, now if you'll open your Bibles with me, please, to Luke chapter 4. Things have really been going well here at the church. We've been seeing young people get saved. We've been just seeing God moving and working and dealing in hearts, and it's just been really an encouragement. See some of the new folks that have been coming out and all this. Listen, we praise the Lord for that, and we thank God for what He's doing. But we know whenever that stuff's going on, buddy, we know one thing for sure. Somebody's going to be at work. Somebody's going to be at work. We have an adversary. We have an enemy. And the Bible says his name is the devil. If you'll notice here in Luke chapter 4 that the devil comes to tempt who? Jesus Christ. And you don't think he's going to tempt you? There's nobody off limits to the devil when it comes to his temptations. Amen. Nobody off limits when it comes to the devil's temptations. But notice when he comes in verse 1, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. You know who the devil's usually going to tempt? You know who he's going to mess with? The spiritual Christians. The strong ones. The ones that are sold out. The ones that are wanting to live for God. The devil doesn't have to worry about the rest of them. The world and the flesh already got them. We're okay so far this morning. Haven't you lost you yet? I know we haven't read my scripture yet, but I haven't lost you already now, have I? Now, if you look with me here in Luke chapter 4 and also turn to Matthew chapter 4, if you can hold both places at once in your Bible there, Matthew chapter 4, just to show you something here. Look with me first in Matthew 4. Matthew chapter 4 in verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward in hunger. I guess so. Go 40 days without eating, man, you get hungry. Verse 3, and notice who shows up. Look with me there in verse 3. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3. And when who? Who? What's he called? Isn't that interesting? Now, if you look in Luke chapter 4, look in verse 2, being 40 days tempted of who? The devil. Who is the devil? According to the Bible, he is the tempter. He is the tempter. Verse 3, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command the stone that it may be made bread. Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The devil taketh him up in the high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for it is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And Brother Mick, if you'd ask the Lord to bless the message this morning, please.
Father, thank you for your precious word, Lord. Thank you for showing us that when we're at work for you, the devil will be at work against you. And I just praise you, Lord, for showing us through so many things that we can use for our examples as warnings, Lord, to see what's going on. And just help us now, Lord, today to be open to your words, Lord.
Yes. Amen. All right, if you just hold your place there now and look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'm preaching this morning on the temptations of the devil. The temptations of the devil. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And it's important to pray. This is a spiritual battle for me. I hope you understand that. When you preach a message like this, the worst thing you can do usually is preach against the devil or mention the devil, because that's about when he'll show up. That's how that goes. See, I believe he's real. The Bible says one is cast down at the sight of him. You know what that means? If you ever got a look at the devil, you'd pass out in fear. He's real. He's a real being. He wants to be God. And when he shows up to you, you know how he's going to show up to you? As God. You need to get that first. When the devil shows up to you, the devil is going to show up to you as God. Now, you know what he is? He's a lion. He's a roaring lion who's walking about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy you. He wants to ruin you. We talked about that this morning. The thief cometh not, but for what purpose? To what? Steal, kill, destroy. Amen. Christ has come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ will give life. Jesus Christ will build up. Jesus Christ will edify. You know what the devil will do? He'll tear down. You get problems going on in the church, you start getting little miscommunications and little problems and those things. You turn these little mountains into molehills, or molehills into mountains. And I say, how does that happen? It's the devil. He's just going to take a little something and make it bigger than it really is and just mess people up. Why? To kill! To destroy! You get a little excitement going in the church, you start getting people saved. How long do you think it takes before the devil comes in? You think he wants to see life? You think he wants to see people growing and getting it? Listen, if you're already bothered from what I'm preaching this morning, there's a reason. Some of you a little uneasy, and you need to know why. Amen. Now pay attention this morning. I want to help you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Notice verse 5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know what? What did he want to know? Your faith. Why? Well, just in case something might have happened. What? Lest by some means the tempter... Who's that? Had tempted you, and our labor be in vain. Hey, we came and we dealt with you, and we won you to the Lord, and we loved you, and we taught you some doctrine, we got you fervent in spirit, and got you living for God, but I've heard some things, and I'm trying to find out now what's going on. I hope that all wasn't in vain. I hope you're still strong in your faith. That's what he said, right? Why? Where's the problem? He attacks faith. What is the opposite of faith? Doubt. When the devil shows up to Jesus Christ, what's the first thing he does? The devil said unto him, what was the first word out of his mouth? If. How many of you are saved and know for sure you're a son of God this morning? Raise your hand. All right. Well, if you're saved. If you're a son of God. Huh? See? See, what's that? That's the devil. When the devil shows up, he shows up in doubt. If God answers your prayer. You understand? How do you stand against the devil? You have to stay in strong faith. When you don't stay in strong faith, the devil is right there to take advantage of you and try to get you. The devil, listen, is a protagonist against absolute truth. Absolute truth is what? Takes away all doubt. Absolute truth just says, this is just the way it is. You know what the devil wants to do? He's an antagonist against absolute truth. Why? He doesn't want you abiding in absolute truth, because where you're abiding in absolute truth, there's no doubt. Amen. The devil wants a little relativism. The devil wants a little wiggle room for you. See why? So that he can bring in the doubt. If the Bible's true, do you understand how it works? That's all he needs, is just to get that little question. When he came to Eve, the first words out of his mouth were, yea, hath God said? See? Attacking the Bible, getting her to doubt what the Word of God meant or what the Word of God truly said. Once he's done that, listen, he's already got you. So he comes through doubt. Jesus Christ said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth. He's an antagonist, a protagonist against the truth. He hates the truth. He can't stand the truth. He's a liar from the beginning, Jesus Christ said. He abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. And when he speaks a what? Lie? He speaks of his own. Now, you know how the devil will speak a lie? He'll mix it with 99% truth. That's how he'll get you to swallow it. We'll go so far this morning. We're right. You're looking at me confused. Now, was that hard to understand? You want to get somebody poisoned? You take the poison and you put it in something good that they enjoy eating or drinking, because then they'll swallow it. As a Christian, you know how you're going to get them? I'll put in a great truth. But then just put in just that little bit of a lie, just that little falsehood, just that little exaggeration, and that's all it takes. And that little thing right there, it brings in that doubt, and that thing right there will bring in ruin and destruction to many. Now, there's a lot of false ideas when it comes to this thing on the temptation of the devil. How many of you are in a hurry to get out of here early this morning? You better not be. I mean, it's already 11:40. I haven't even started the message yet. Now look with me, please, in James chapter 1. How's that for a good introduction? James chapter 1. Honest to God, we started Sunday school this morning. I'd been up here 10 minutes and it was time to stop. I don't know what's going on this morning. The clock is just... it's just going too fast this morning. Somebody sped up the clock. I guess for the elect's sake, the days are being shortened or something. I don't know what that's all about. But, James... that was a joke. James chapter 1, that's not real doctrine. Don't run off with that. James chapter 1 and verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted. You see that, James? New Testament chapter 1 and verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of what? God. Is God ever going to tempt you to do wrong? Now, he'll tempt you and try you, in a sense, to see where your faith is at. You understand? But he won't tempt you to sin. You got it? So who is it that's doing that? Look in verse. Neither can be tempted with evil, neither tempteth any man. So why is it then that you sin? Huh? Look at verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away by the devil. And it, no, it didn't say that. When he is drawn away by what? His own lust. And enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Where's the devil in all that? Hello? No, he ain't in it. You know what you think? You think the temptation of the devil is to get you to commit some sin of the flesh. That's not the temptation of the devil. You don't need the devil's help. You're doing a good job all on your own. Amen. The devil doesn't have to worry about you. He knows your flesh. He knows what you're capable of. He just leaves you to yourself when it comes to that stuff. You know what the problem is? When you start doing that, you take away somebody to blame. Galatians chapter 5. They used to have this black comedian when I was a kid on television. He'd get up doing Geraldine. His name was Flip Wilson. He'd get up doing Geraldine. He'd say, "The devil made me do it." Geraldine, you know what? She would never take responsibility. It was always the devil's fault. Listen, when it comes to the sins of the flesh, it's not the devil's fault. You know whose fault it is? It's yours. Take some personal responsibility. Go before God and say, "God, it's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Lord, I have sinned." Listen, when David did his great sin, did he come before God and say, "The devil tempted me"? The devil ain't even mentioned in that thing. The devil only tempted David once, and it wasn't there. Hello? Devil, listen, David committed sin all on his own. He committed that adultery all on his own. He didn't need the devil's help. When the devil came to tempt him, what was the temptation? Do you remember? Do you read your Bible? When the devil tempted David, what was the temptation? Anybody know? No, Marine, you know. Go ahead. Yes. The only time the devil ever tempted David was to number the children of Israel. "Look what great things you've been doing, David." We'll get there. But what I want you to understand, what I'm trying to get you to see, is when you're talking about the temptation of the devil, he ain't talking about flesh. That's just you. That's just your wicked flesh. Don't be blaming it on the devil. Galatians chapter 5. Look with me in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the..." What's the problem? Flesh! The problem is flesh. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." No devil in there, man! That's just you stopping you. That's you preventing you. That's you getting in the way of you. That's why Paul says, it's no longer I, Christ and the old man and I, and I'm fighting against myself, and I've got to crucify the old man and walk in the new more. "So then there's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this..." What's he talking about? He's talking about that flesh, man. He knows it's no good. The devil don't have to worry about that stuff. So when we're talking, listen, when I'm talking about the temptations of the devil, don't think that's what I'm talking about necessarily here. It goes beyond that stuff. You've got to get a hold of that. Otherwise, you're just going to blame the devil for everything you're doing. Paul said in Romans 7:18, "I know in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." So take responsibility for your flesh. Amen. Now, listen, I'm not saying that the devil won't on occasion kind of put something in your way. Usually something loose. Like some loose change. Or a loose woman. He'll present something loose so that you'll lose. Yeah. Some lips. Usually something loose. Amen. looseness, that's associated with that word lasciviousness. See? The devil will do that just to kind of try to mess you up a little bit, but it's your own flesh that'll get you into trouble. Amen? Because if you're walking in the Spirit instead of the flesh, he won't get you by that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, there's no temptation taking you, but such as is what? Common to man. It's your own body tempting you. It's your own flesh tempting you. It's not just the devil. So you need to understand the difference between the temptations of the devil and the temptations of just you being tempted to do something wrong because you're you. Are we okay so far this morning? Would you give me an amen? Would you let me know you're awake this morning? Hallelujah. All right, so let's look at these temptations of the devil, and we'll get out of here as quickly as possible. Look back there in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, and notice with the first temptation that comes. Luke chapter 4, I'm trying to help you this morning. Luke chapter 4, please look with me in verse 2. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil, here he comes, first time, man. First time, here comes the devil. The devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone be made bread. If. Why do you think Christians doubt their salvation? Are you a son of God? If thou be the Son of God. Are you a son of God? If thou be a son of God. If he came to Jesus saying, if thou be the Son of God, don't you think he's going to come to you saying, if thou art a Son of God? Huh? What does the Bible say? Are you a child of God? John chapter 1 and verse 12, as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. 1 John chapter 3, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Amen? You're a son of God right now, according to the Bible. Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Galatians 4:6, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of God in his heart, into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Philippians 2:15, that you're the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a wicked and perverse nation. Are you a son of God? Well, maybe. If thou be a son of God, you know what happens to a lot of Christians, especially young Christians, when they become a son of God? You know what the temptation from the devil is? Would you agree with me? Command. Command. So what's that? Command the spirits in Jesus' name. Command that spirit of poverty to depart. See, what is that? That's the first temptation of the devil to a Christian. If you are really a son of God, then you ought to be able to, with great faith, raise the dead or be healed in Jesus' name. Hey, you laugh, but you know what just happened? The devil just got half of Christianity. On the first temptation. I mean, if you're really a Christian, you'll speak in tongues. Said to one, get out of my face or you're going to be speaking in tongues in a minute. Amen. I command prosperity. I claim that Cadillac in the name of Jesus. Well, if thou be a son of God, command. You understand? That's the first temptation of the devil. Now, how there's half Christianity gone. Say what? From the temptations of the devil. I command thee, get thee hence, Satan! You're a nut. Yeah. I command the devils to come out. I ain't commanding no devil, no nothing. I'm just fleeing to Jesus and saying, Lord, protect me, your humble servant. You better watch that stuff. And at least 50% of Christianity has fallen just from the first temptation. Hey, why do you think none of them have any assurance of their salvation? If thou be a son of God, jump through this hoop. Work at it. I finally made it through the hoop. Great job. Now, if thou be a son of God, jump through this hoop. And they spend their whole lives like that, man. That's sad. You understand? Because it's always if, then you ought to be able to command. I'll tell you the best way to get away from that. I'll tell you the best protection you have for that. Listen, what did Jesus say? What was his response? What is written? Man doth not live by bread alone, but by... You want to get rid of the doubt? You want to get some assurance? You want to get some help from the temptation of the devil? Quit thinking it's what you're going to do and start getting in the Bible and live off of every word. You know the only way to believe in that charismatic stuff is to believe some of the Bible. You can't believe all of it, but you can believe some of it. There's no way you can believe all the Bible and believe that stuff. That's obvious for anybody that's read the Bible. But they can show you some verses, just like a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon or anybody else. See? But you have to take the whole Bible as a whole together. You need every word of God. All right? And if you get every word of God, that'll take care of your assurance. We have assurance of our salvation. I have never spoken in tongues. I've never healed anybody or been healed or had anybody slap me in the head or been slain in the spirit or any of that other junk. And I have complete assurance of my salvation and I am filled with the Holy Ghost. Say, how did you get filled with the Holy Ghost? Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit.
Yes, amen.
Are you filled with that?
Yes, amen.
You want to get filled with the Holy Ghost? Quit thinking these are antennas. I like what you said. That was good. Holy Ghost. I'm soaking it in. Listen, if you're saved, the Holy Ghost is in you. What are you soaking in? The Holy Ghost is in you. He said, it's a well, man. Just start bringing it out. You got to watch the temptations of the devil, man. He's smarter than me. He's smarter than you. The only thing we have to fall back on is this book. And he knows it if you don't. Amen. Every word of God. That's it. Faith cometh by hearing. What's he trying to do? Bring in doubt? Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. That's the first temptation. You know, you get some young Christian down that just wants to serve God and they want to do right, and they get in some church where this junk is going on and get them down there. Say hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. They get the music going, you know, and the organ going. You know, get some rapper up there. You know, whatever. It's the same spirit. Isn't it? And then eventually he goes, oh, shut up, nobody got it. Oh, he's got it, hallelujah. And walks out the door, not knowing if he's saved or not. That's the first temptation of the devil. Hey, you realize in the Bible, right there in Luke, where you're at, you just go a few chapters later, you know what you find Jesus doing? Taking 5 loaves and feeding over 5,000 people. You know what he did? He commanded. But not for his benefit. It was for the benefit of others. Okay? So there's a time and a place for certain things, see? And if you're doing it for your benefit, it's not the Holy Ghost. Am I right so far, brother? Help me out. Amen. John knows what I'm talking about if you all don't. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, now, he's been with these characters. He's had them tell him, the reason you're not healed is because you don't have enough faith. Bunch of stinking charlatans. I'd like to kick them right in the something. I don't know what. I'll let God take care of them. He will. You count on that. He sure will. Amen. Mess people up like that. It's not about you looking good. Command! No. No. Listen, I'm trying to help you. That's a temptation of the devil. I'm warning you. Now that you're aware of it, you can avoid that. Am I right? Now, if you don't, that's your fault. You've been warned against the temptation of the devil. Here's another one. Look with me here in Luke chapter 4, another temptation of the devil. He's trying to destroy you. He's trying to ruin you. He's trying to mess you up. Who? Everybody that's a Christian. Look with me in verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into what? High mountain. Showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If therefore thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Listen, when the devil shows up, who does he show up as? Huh? God. We're getting ready for VBS this year. You know what our theme is? What's our theme? What if you get it? I mean, full of the Holy Ghost. Buddy, on top of the mountain. You talk about, listen, visions of grandeur. You're the chosen one. You're loftier. You have loftier goals than most of God's people. That's why they don't see it like you do. That's why they don't understand it like you. He comes as an angel of light, remember? And, you know, the reason that church is incorporated, honest to God, you find what messes churches up, it'll be stupid stuff like that. Your church isn't incorporated, or your church is incorporated. Yeah, that's all through the Bible, that stuff. Honest to God. Well, your church has too many youth ministries, or not enough. You can't win, you know. We don't believe in youth ministries. That's because you know something nobody else does. You've been taken to the mountaintop. You see, when the devil shows up, it's delusions of grand glory. Power. Man, there's some nut on the radio, Bible-believing preacher, at least at one time, you know, and the first thing he'll ask anybody when he starts talking to him, will you confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? What do you mean? Devil! Honest to God. He's a nutcase. Say, how did he get like that? Ask him. I'm the man of God for today. That's what he'll tell you. I'm the special one that God has chosen. That's how you get like that. The special one, he said, the man of God used to be this guy, but now it's me. Honest to God, that's what he says. Bible believer. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Tempted by the devil. Delusions of grandeur. Taken up into a high mountain. Hey, you know what the devil will do? He'll offer you everything in this world. Whatever it takes. Any mountain other than the real mountain will do. You know what he says to the preacher? Hey, you want a bigger church? You want everybody to like you, don't you? Don't you want a vibrant congregation? Y'all get vibrant on me, let me know, because I don't even know what that means. And the Bible says there's a God of this world. There's a spirit of this world. There's a course of this world, and it's all satanic. And if you want something from this world, you know you have to go through to get it. And that's where it happens. James 4:4 says, "The friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever will therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." You know what the devil's going to do? Just get you to compromise with the world a little bit. Now, if you use the world's music, you'll reach more. If you use worldly gimmicks, you'll reach more. If you'll use worldly practices and worldly tactics, you'll be able to reach more. You know what that's called? Pragmatism. That's a philosophy of this world that's invaded Christianity. Now, just don't preach against the world's traditions, the world's philosophies, and the world's religions. And you'll get more people in. So what is that? The temptation of the devil. Delusions of grandeur. You can have more if you'll do it my way. But I would never worship the devil. Maybe not obvious to you. Maybe it'll be subconsciously. Maybe in so many ways, no. But listen, you know what Jesus Christ's response was? Thou shalt what? Serve God and Him only. Now what happens when you're in there? You understand, humanism is Satanism. Use the world's music, use the world's tactics, use the world's gimmicks just to get a great following. And who are they following? Did I lose you already? I'm sorry. Who are they following? No, they're following a preacher. You know what you got today in Christianity more than at any time ever? You know what you got? Christian groupies. I like Brother Justice hit on that. I'm in with that, man. I agree to that right there. Well, I'm going to that revival if so-and-so is preaching. You got your little favorite preacher kind of thing. You're a groupie. You're not going there to hear from God. You're going there to hear so-and-so or so-and-so. Now, hopefully God will speak through them. But if you think you're the only ones that God's speaking through, then the churches of America are in trouble. Does that make sense? We get all the big-time preachers in here, you know. We've had we don't care about that stuff. I don't. If you do, too bad. We'll just have in here who God says to have in here. Well, we have this preacher in, that'll really bring them. Who cares? We'll just have in who God says to have in. And let the chips fall where they may. Now, listen, that's the temptation of pastors. You understand? All those things. They're just as bad for a Christian. I mean, don't talk about your Bible and Jesus and gospel at work or around your family, and more of them will like you. Who are you wanting to like you? Who are you wanting to like you? God or the world? Do you understand how it goes? So what's that? That's the temptation. That's where it gets down, right in there, and the devil knows you. Yes, sir, he knows. He's going to get right down in there with that temptation. Just keep your mouth shut. You want your children to be successful, don't you? What is your idea of your children being successful? The devil knows. You want them to be acceptable? You want them to be popular? You want them to be financially secure? Is that your idea of success? I mean, you know, wise. See, we're getting right down in there now, I understand. Some of you are getting nervous already. I mean, why send them to Bible college when you can send them to university? Why youth camp when there's some sporting activity? Serve God only. Is that what you're doing? Did I stutter? Am I making sense? I'm trying to help you. I love you. I love you. Where's your priorities? Just a little bit of the world. Just a little popularity. Just a little glory. Who was offering that? That's where he comes in. And you thought it was because, oh, the devil tempted me to eat the last donut. And he could care less about your stupid donuts. He's after something a lot bigger than that. He's out to destroy your life and ruin your soul. And he knows just where to go. Doesn't he? Every time. Get the glory, get the power, get the prestige, get the success. A high and lofty mountain. What's the response? Serve God only. Is that what you're doing? Then you'll be safe. Now, would you agree? We lost 50% of Christianity on the first temptation. How many more have we lost on the second one? Well, you think the devil's playing? You don't believe he's really real, do you? And so when I warn you about him, you'll get mad at me. Look out for the big bad dog, you mean person. How dare you say that? Why don't you get mad at the dog? Verse 9. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. He's right at the top of the temple. He's there, man. You know what Jesus said? If you're going to be exalted, don't do it yourself. Let somebody else invite you for that exaltation, for that new position, whatever it is. Don't do it yourself. Let somebody else bring you in. Where's Jesus now? He has been exalted to the pinnacle of the temple. Buddy, he's as high up as you can go. He's arrived. Huh? Devil wouldn't tempt somebody there, would they? Now, I want you to just look back at this thing and see how this thing is going. What does the devil tell him to do? Verse 9. He brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against us. Well, you know what the Bible says? Devil's just quoting Scripture. He left out a few words, but he's just quoting Scripture to get you to do what? Commit suicide. What did you tell him to do? Go off the deep end. Right? Take a leap of faith. It might be your last one. There's a difference between walking by faith and leaping by faith. The Bible never said leap by faith. We okay? It said walk by faith. I'm trying to help you. Now you just walk by faith. You never have to
take that leap of faith. Are you saved? You got assurance of it? I mean, absolutely, you know, no matter what you ever do or say, you're going to heaven? Can you really say that? That's this guy right here. Because that's when the devil comes and says, you know what, you're absolutely right. You're set. You couldn't lose it no matter what. Right? What does he say? What does he tell him to do? Hey, no matter what you do, God's going to take care of you. You're God's. He loves you. He promised to always be with you, didn't he? So just do what you want. You're going to go to heaven, aren't you? Well, yeah, I just don't see no reason to really be in church. I mean, you can have church out there on the lake. I think you can have church out there, out in the hunting camp. I think you can have church out there. Well, listen, you can do whatever you want. Just jump. Doesn't God promise you that you can do anything you want now? And you're still going to heaven? Listen, God told you that He's going to take care of you no matter what. But you can get that thing flipped around where, well, since God said He was going to take care of me no matter what, preacher, how could this happen? I can't stand being an I told you so preacher. I hate it. I don't want to be one. I want to be a preacher that gets you mad and scares the bejesus out of you and keeps you from jumping. Because you jump, you may never get back. How many Christians do you know of right now today that are just as saved as you or I? But they're not in church, or if they are, they're just there like Sunday mornings once in a while. And they're out there just hanging out in the bars and living like everybody else lives. But they'll swear to you up and down, they're saved. See, you don't understand, Brother Ray. I'm saved. I can do whatever I want now. Oh, you fell for the temptation. Only use not your liberty as an occasion to the flesh. You fell for the temptation. Who's the devil after? Those filled with the Holy Ghost. Those that are wanting to do something for God. Those that are sold out for Him. Do you understand? It's Bible believers. It's Christians that really are excited about living for God. He's going to come after you. How many of you, just let's all be honest. How many of you could say at least one of those three temptations the devil's come at me with? Raise your hand. All right. Now, I'd be worried if I couldn't raise my hand. Because if you couldn't raise your hand, what you just said is the devil don't really have too much concern for you. You're not a problem for him. Okay? But if thou be a son of God, and if you get a little filled with the Holy Ghost and a little fervent in spirit about living for Him, I can guarantee you one thing, He's going to show up your way. Amen? The question is, when the temptation comes, how are you going to handle it? You know how Jesus Christ handled it? What does the Bible say? Amen. It is written. Are we a Bible-believing church just so that we can say, we're a Bible-believing church? Or are we a Bible-believing church because we know there's a devil, and when he comes, if we don't go by our Bibles, if we don't go by the Scriptures, then we might get in trouble. Okay? I don't want you to be ruined by the devil. Now look back there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we'll close.
See, it's not as late as you thought. What was the response? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Well, I'm saved now. I can do whatever I want. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Stay out of church. Stay out of your Bible. Stay out of prayer. You know what you're doing? Listen, you know what you're doing? You're tempting God to take care of you and keep you right when you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing to take care of you and keep you right. You're tempting the Lord. How many of you believe the Bible says that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance? You understand that's in the Bible? What does that mean? If God has given you ability, gifts, anything He's done for you, He's not going to take it back. God's called me to preach. You know when He's going to take it back? Never. Now, would you agree with me that there are preachers today that aren't preaching? That aren't in church anywhere doing anything? Did God change His mind? Then what happened? Take the leap. You'll be all right. God will take care of you. Would you agree that there were some that were deacons that are no longer deacons? What'd they do? Take a leap. Live how you want. God will take care of you. Is there many that used to witness? That used to be sold out for the church? Where are they now? What happened? Take a leap. And you'll commit spiritual suicide. And the devil wants to leave you half dead, like we talked about this morning. And we need to be the Samaritans going and reaching them and bringing them back in. He's not out for your welfare. Now, I want you to think about this. If you want the 3 points, I'll give them to you now. Afterwards. Doubt. First temptation, doubt your assurance. First temptation, doubt your assurance. Second temptation, prefer worldly assurance over godly assurance. Third temptation, abuse your assurance. You're saved, you can do whatever you want, and it'll be okay. You better be careful with that philosophy. Listen, you know what puts most Christians out of the race? And I mean out of the race. I mean on the shelf. I mean not serving God anywhere, doing anything. And if you even want to talk about God, they're not even... You know what it is? It's these things right here. Which of you today, and I'm not encouraging this, could possibly fall into some temptation of the flesh? Devil, nothing to do with it. Just you. How many of you would say maybe that's happened in the last 2 months? How many of you say within the last 2 hours? More honest. What'd you do about it? Huh? Did you confess it? Did you forsake it? Did you put it under the blood? Go on for God? Then that's not what we're talking about here. When you're talking about the temptations of the devil, it's not something you just confess and put under the blood. It's usually something that destroys you for good. Yeah. For good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Look, I'm not just talking. 1 Thessalonians 3. Look there in verse 5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, now watch it, and our labor be in vain. You may go out and sin and do something stupid this week and confess it and get it right with God. You come back to church next week, I'm not going to think my labor was in vain. You understand? Then what's this talking about? when the tempter comes, you're not serving God anymore. By the time he cleans your clock and he's all done and through with you, and it may take years, but by the time he's done, you'll be off believing some weird false doctrine because of some high and lofty place he took you to. You'll be out there trying to please the world and God at the same time, not knowing that the Lord left you a long time ago. You'll be out there still doubting your salvation, looking for the next new thing to come along to prove that you're worthy. Or you'll have just jumped off the pinnacle. And any way you slice it, our labor would have been in vain. That's the tempter's goal. He didn't come to share. He didn't come to care. He didn't come to give. He came as a thief to steal and to kill and to destroy. Don't let him destroy your life. Stay in your Bible. The answer to all the temptations was given right here by the Lord Jesus Christ. If he tempts you in one of these things, listen, don't worry, don't freak out, don't think, oh, I'm so unworthy, I was tempted by the... Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil. It's okay. But what's important is your response. God's watching. Your response to the temptation. Is it let God be true and every man a liar? Or is it, well, you know, considering the circumstances, preacher, I mean, the way I see it is, have a nice trip. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, listen, to the pulling down of strongholds. You know where the devil gets in? Casting down imaginations and every high thing. You better watch those high and lofty mountains that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to Christ. You say, why is God having you preach this message today? Because I know what's going on. I know what the devil's been doing in your lives. Not just one or two of you here. I'm talking, I got a lot of y'all's number today. I know it. You say, why? Because it's been going too well. Because things are going good. And people are getting saved, and people are fervent in spirit and excited. And the devil's going to come in to try and bring in division and strife. And he's going to come in with just a temptation. And he knows just the one to bring your way. And it won't be the same one that's brought my way. Do you understand? But I love you. The Lord loves you. He's given you his word. Stick. Don't just call yourself a Bible believer. Really be a Bible believer. I'm just telling you, if you just do that, you'll be all right. And we need to pray for one another. Really. Fervent prayer for one another. Getting ready to get into that new building over there. Boy, things are just going so good. And I'm sensing what's going on under the current. And I love every one of you. And I want you to all love one another and pray for one another. Let's keep all the division and all the strife. It's been going good, man. We had four young people saved at the youth rally. Brother Justice led 9 kids to the Lord at the detention center. Been people getting saved. Now just it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, hide if you will. But I came here to stay. We need some spiritual warriors that are going to stand in these last days. Let's stand for prayer. Sister Tammy, if you want to come ahead and play for us, please. The altar's open. Child of God, you come. God's spoken to your heart. Just something you're struggling with. Some way the tempter's come your way. Stick with the Bible. Stick with the Word. Amen. Let's sing 387. 387. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Now, if you're going to take this message and you're going to get kind of, listen, that's not the Holy Ghost. When I was preaching, if there's something that rose up in you, that's not the Holy Ghost. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Resist the devil. How do you resist the devil? You humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. Jesus Christ resisted the devil through the words of God, and the Bible says he left him for a season. Yeah, he might come back. Always does. But maybe he'll leave for a season. If he'll stand the test, stick with the Bible. Stick with the Bible. You'll get through. Go ahead and play, sister. What number was that I said? Huh? 387. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, He'll carry you through. Thank God. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. Hey, you know what you need to do? You need to ask the Savior to help you. Is that who you're leaning on? Is that who you're leaning on? Lord, I'm being tempted. Lord, you help me. I am no match for the devil. You are no match for the devil. But you got one on your side that's stronger than him. That better be the one you're leaning on. You trust him. He'll see you through. Let's sing it out on the third. To him that are cometh, God giveth a crown. Through faith we shall conquer, though often cast down. He who is our Savior, our strength will renew. Look ever to Jesus, He'll carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. Now, before I close, I just want to say one more thing. If you're here and you've never been born again, you're not saved. There's only one temptation the devil has for you. Trust yourself instead of trusting Jesus Christ. You know who's going to deliver you? Jesus Christ. You can't deliver yourself. If you're here and you've never been born again, you cannot save yourself. You cannot earn your way into heaven. You cannot get baptized enough or join the church enough or do enough good works to impress God enough to earn a way into heaven. Do you understand that? You have sinned against a holy God. The only way you're going to get in is if you trust the one who took your sin, stood in your place at the cross of Calvary. Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't have to go to hell, you can go to heaven by simply calling upon Christ as your Savior. How about it today? How about it today? Maybe today would be the day of your salvation. Listen, when you're given an invitation for salvation, and you know that if you came and you prayed and asked Christ to save you, and you don't do it, why is that? You know where the devil's real fight is? Right there. He don't want you getting saved. He wants you in hell with him. He's going after you. He's going to keep you blinded. He's going to keep you from trusting Christ as your Savior. He wants as many trophies as he can have in hell. Please don't be one of them. He's real. He's a real being. He'll quote Scripture. But he does not have your best intentions at heart, trust me. You know, when you say, well, I think I'm going to get saved now. I think I'm ready. And all of a sudden that feeling will come. And that nervousness, there's something fighting against that. You know what that is? That's the devil. How many of you have been there? You know what I'm talking about. Why don't you just pray and say, Lord, just tell the devil to shut up for a minute so I can do the right thing. That's a good prayer. That's a good prayer. Lord, just tell the devil to shut up for a minute so I can do the right thing. Try it. Try it. Amen. I love y'all. I won't see the devil mess you up. I hope you understand that. Pray for our church. Amen. That's where we win the victory. On our knees. All right, let's close in prayer. Brother Mick, would you close us in prayer, please?